You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote on discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary. With the summer here, I needed to add some new bits to my wardrobe. After eking out the absolute most I possibly could out of some stuff I bought maybe a decade ago, it was time for a refresh. And that's where Quince came in. With Quince, I was able to get some great new swimwear and some new summer casual pants that both work great and look great. The fits are clean, the fabric feels nice, and everything just works without needing to overthink it. I'm able to look way more put together, but still feel casual and comfortable. For example, the summer pants I got fit really well, but more importantly, they breathe really well, so they can handle whatever temperature it is outside, which in the upper Midwest summer can be quite a treat some days. And the swimwear is great for when I just gotta get away from that heat. Quince has all the wardrobe staples for spring and summer. Think 100% European linen shorts and shirts from $34, lightweight, breathable, and comfortable, but still look put together. Their pants also hit that same balance, relaxed and comfortable, but still polished enough to wear pretty much everywhere. And everything is priced 50 to 80% less than what you'd find at similar brands, because Quince works directly with ethical factories to cut out middlemen, so you're getting premium materials without the markup. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/40klore for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/40klore for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/40klore.
Welcome to the 40K Lore Cast.
Welcome to 40K Lore Cast. It's me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Today, we'll be diving into the great mystery and joy that is Space Hulks. What the they great are.
Mystery and joy?
Well, they're a joy. Well, they actually, the thing is, here's the thing. We only really talk about the ones that are not joyous. There's a whole group of them that are totally kind of fine-ish. It's just the ones we talk about are the ones that are very much
like Nightville Land.
Fine-ish. Yeah. It's like, oh, there's a whole, it's, you know, it's kind of like the, you know, the, all the stories of the people who like went along the Oregon Trail. A bunch of them made it. The other ones, you know, like the Donner Pass had a name before. Anyway, all right. But before we begin, 40K Lorecast, weekly show in the lore of the Warhammer 40K universe, releasing every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Guys, you're doing a great job of following and commenting. So I just say it really out of reflex at this point, but keep doing it. It's awesome. But I know you're all doing it. So thank you. Check out our YouTube channels, plural now. We have one for our show and Brad has his own. Both of them, there are links in the show notes to it. On our channel, you'll get our bi-monthly-ish, very much so-ish Q&As, along with some streaming stuff, a few other things we throw in there. And on Brad's channel, you get his competitive 40K thing. So yay, Brad made a channel. Well, you know.
I had the channel.
I know. Yay.
I remembered something existed that I made a long time ago.
It's the only way it would be better is it would have been if, yay, Brad remembered his login.
No, whoa. If I get a new computer, I'm out of luck, man.
Ugh. All right. But if you like this show and you want more coverage, check out our other show, The History of 40K, where Brad and I talk about the history of the game of 40K on the tabletop, much more about the actual game itself. Or if you just want to hear more about me and my love of video games, check out my show, Retro Recall, where I talk about video games in the 80s and 90s. Some of them sucked. Or, that's not really or. Additionally, if you like us and you want to help us out, two great ways to do it. One, you can go to the link to our website and check out our merchandise. Some really great stuff there. Wine, t-shirts. Well, not wine. Wine glasses. We should get our own wine.
We should get our own. I was just about to say
that. You know what? It wouldn't taste good. Because the problem is we can't. Because if we wanted, I'd go all bougie and it'd be too expensive. or we go super cheap and all of our listeners would drink it like out of courtesy, but it would be, you know what I mean? But
I would like, use the same. It would be like Sam Jackson beer. It'll get you drunk.
I would.
The old Chappelle for we'd that.
Basically just, I'd be relabeling Mad Dog. all right, by the way, we do it, but we have wine glasses, beer mugs. We have really nice t-shirts, sweatshirts, et cetera. Or you can help us out by doing Patreon. Patreon's a great way to help us out and really kind of help anybody out that you like. Patreon's a wonderful way to support artists. And I guess we are technically artists. Patreon, $4.99 a month gets you this show and our other show, History of 40K, completely ad-free, or €4.29, but in Berlin.
Still stuck on the damn euro.
Yeah, because I expect at this point it would have moved. but anyway, did you guys know Berlin has more bridges and water than Venice? It does. No one cares because it's not Venice. One of them has Aperol. I'm just coming up. Look, all right, one has Aperol Spritz, singing dudes on gondolas, cobblestone roads, and the other one is not that. But it is the capital of the Doner Kebab, which is wonderful. Both sober, but more so drunk. Created by Turkish immigrants. But of the things Turkish immigrants brought to Germany, chicken paprikash is my favorite one. Just calling it out there. And if we're talking Berlin, cool thing about Berlin is it goes back actually not as far as you'd think. It actually only goes back to the 12th century. And that's because while Berlin has been around for a while, during the Roman era, that part of Germany, the Romans tried to occupy. They successfully did it once. And by successfully, I mean they got there and then promptly left because, nope, y'all weren't cool. my ancestors looked at any of you German ancestors and went, nah. We out. But the 12th century, really well located for trade. And this eventually led to a ton of money coming into the area, massive economic growth, which led to the creation of the Prussian Empire. Fun story. But why go to Berlin? Simple. Well, not if you're Brad. If you're Brad, you go there to die because the number one reason to go there is
go there to die.
Well, if you're me, ready? Club music. Go underground. Deep, heavy bass, electronic house music.
That's what I used to go to. I do not do that anymore.
That's my point. Like, you would actually die. That's my, I suffer from heavy migraines. No, it'd be not cool.
I think I might get a migraine talking about that.
That's right. I mean, and their clubs are awesome. Berlin clubs are crazy. I've been to Tresor, actually a couple times. Tresor was nuts. I never went to Watergate, which I guess I just found out while researching this, Watergate closed, which sucks. And Germany's fun to drink in. I will say the Flying Hirsch, which I think I'm pronouncing right, is messed up, but it's super fun. Or maybe you're going to Berlin to track down your pen pal. Whatever, whatever's good for you. Lastly, though, our Discord. Please join our Discord. Our Discord's super fun. We've been having a lot of fun in it recently. By the time this releases, this actually might time right with the release of 11th edition. So definitely jump in now. You'll see a lot of us talking about 11th edition in there. But if not, even if you don't care about playing the game on tabletop, but just want to come in there, yell at us about what we're about to do. Also equally fun. If you want to come in there and just learn more about 40K in general, get more advice, just find other people who have similar interests, do this. It is a fantastic community we've built in there, and I could not be happier with what we have going. So there you go, Discord. All right, Space Hulks. Quick disclaimer before we get into this. We're going to cover Space Hulks today. There is a game called Space Hulk. Brad and I were discussing this before we started. Space Hulk the game was made, I think, in 1993. Feels about right. The issue with that is any 40K lore from the early 90s is
by the way, 89.
Okay, so 89. This lore kind of doesn't really count.
I know. I already put a disclaimer on that for you because I'm like,
yeah. We were discussing this before we started, and Brad brought up a very good point of like, hey, the Space Hulk stuff's really conflicting. So I just want to call out for those of you who've played Space Hulk or like Space Hulk, I'll just go ahead and say it that, yeah, it's one of those games that Space Hulk. Yeah, it's a great game, but the lore in it, I mean, I'll just call it out. This is before Gene Stealer cult existed.
Yeah, we had Gene Stealers because the Gene Stealers tried to kill the Terminators.
Yeah. So that's the game. So just calling out. So anyway, with that, we're going to cover more kind of modern information on Space Hulks. But let's get into what is a Space Hulk? Probably a good place to start.
Let's start with, because we're going to give the definition, which is a conglomeration of ships that slowly came together in and out of the
world. Not always.
No.
Because sometimes it's a single ship. That's the problem. That's the thing. It's just, that is Space Hulk.
But the biggest thing about most of the named Space Hulks and stuff like that come into the stories, they are just gigantic. They're ridiculous. Yeah.
I'll make it easy. It's a big hunk of crap that floats around the galaxy. Now, I am 85% certain it's something that goes in and out of the warp. Yeah, the galaxy in the 44th millennia is a nightmare.
Yes.
Best way to explain it. After the birth of Slaanesh, the border between the Immaterium and the Materium thinned out, and which allows both of them can access the other one much more easily. And
things can flow in and out. Yeah, I was just saying.
Yeah.
A lot of these space hulks are actually, I think, this is a Brad theory, but a lot of these go in and out of the warp and are created by that. Because a lot of times they come back out and there's multiple warships and or giant freight. Again, the size of the ships is ridiculous. You have much bigger than cities flying around all the time right now.
And they seem to have a purpose when they appear. Some of them appear, we'll talk more about this in depth later, but some of them appear almost on a schedule. Others will appear almost like they were summoned. There is a lot going on with Space Hulks, and to the point where when things act with purpose, the one thing, you know, all right, little side comment here about the warp is the warp is not controlled by the Chaos Gods. The Chaos Gods exist in the warp and are powered by the warp. It is entirely possible the warp itself has its own separate consciousness because the warp does kind of do stuff that is separate from the gods of chaos.
Yep. Well, if we're going to bring up when technology came in for warp drives, we got to throw out the fact that we are backwards. We are. I still love the fact that I take claim to the Imperium. The 41st.
Yeah, let's.
41st millennium technology is a trash fire tech wise. You're using the remnants of stuff. Nobody knows how to fix half of the things.
Yeah, the analogy I like to make about the 41st millennia is we had a golden age of technology. So the warp drive was created around the 18th millennia. We're now in the 41st. 41st millennia technology is kind of like the 50s to today for us. Yeah, there were airplanes. Yeah, they had space travel, but it's not what it is today. I mean, if you want a really good example, go watch Alien and the way that the computer in Alien was working. That was their idea what the future would look like then. And then look down at your
phone. I would say that's your phone.
So that's kind of what happens when we talk about this. So the reason that matters is that that's all because of one thing and one thing only, AI. And the irony of what I'm about to say is not lost on me, and it actually pains me to say this. The invention of AI happened at an unknown time during the history of mankind. Men of gold were created. These were supercomputers who were all-knowing. They created the Men of Stone, who were an AI that could navigate ships, basically silicone, by the way, when they say stone. And then they made the Men of Iron, who were the robot workers who would do everything. You know, Mr. Handy.
Also rise up and kill everybody, but yes.
These things happen. I'm building Vashtor right now. He's actually on my desk. And we'll go into a lot more detail on that in our episodes in the Dark Age of Technology, so go check those out. But what matters is humanity was able to produce insane things. And this was also before Slaanesh was born. The Eldar were screwing up the warp, but the warp was
But with the biggest thing about this is the Eldar were actually the ones that let humanity, by the fact that the Eldar at this point in time had turned in, basically looking inside. They were doing their crazy fishhooks and eyeballs and everything else. The cults were going on, but they were also not paying attention to what humanity was doing because they didn't care. But they also made the galaxy pretty safe at this point in time, comparatively.
Well, yeah, because if you think about the galaxy, so this is why humanity was so powerful at this era. And the reason we're talking about this, guys, because a lot of these space hulks have an origin in this era.
Yeah, they're old.
Yeah, but so we're talking about N23, picking a random time. So we've got, there are no Tyranids. The orcs are massively in check. They're jammed into the upper right corner because the Eldar is like, no, you stay over there.
We'll go back. We talked a little bit about this in multiple casts, the Eldar cast and everything else. But before the explosion of Slaanesh just ruining everything for the Eldar, this is still a fully functioning webway gate. Anything that they had to respond to, they did immediately. And they were still doing this, even though they were kind of whatever, because they hadn't been challenged in forever ever.
Yeah. The orcs are the only really large-scale Xeno that exists, but they're jammed away because Tyranids aren't there. Votann are still human. Tau don't really exist. They're still evolving. They might have evolved, but they're backwards people. Drukhari are Eldar.
Yeah.
Necrons are asleep. And Chaos just doesn't really, like, Slaanesh is even born. There's nothing there. So humanity at this time is bouncing into small random aliens. You do have the Kree, the Hrud, the Slau. You've got them and, you know, their issues, but you also have the Eldar bright lancing them to the face if those guys get close to the Eldar.
Yeah, exactly. All those races stayed away because the Eldar were at the pinnacle of their civilization.
But then all this falls apart. And we get, you know, all the pieces, Horus Heresy, blah, 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 blah. And we get to modern 40K. So let's get into a Space Hulk itself now. So what is a Space Hulk? It's just a giant chunk of metal in space. That's really what it is. It can be space debris. It can be a full spaceship.
Well, mostly, it can be collections of spaceships.
Yeah.
Some of these are so big, they talk about the fact that they have their own gravity. They're so big. They're small moons, basically.
Well, most of them are in that room. So yeah, let's talk about, there's three categories that they effectively fall into. I'm kind of wedging them into those categories, but just to make it easier for everyone to follow. Category number one is an actual original ship, like the Phalanx, a Blackstone Fortress. These are massive ships that are more like mobile star fortresses than ships. All of them are built during Golden Age of technology. A couple of them will predate that. And then some sort of tragedy happened and they're abandoned, sort of, and they're floating in and out of the Immaterium. All right. But they are one ship, they're one thing, and it originally existed. The second one is what Brad has been mentioning. These are what I would call a ship graveyard, in which case a single ship or a few abandoned ships have been pulled together by gravity or the warp
smashed. This is where I think the mass majority are warp. The ones that are basically, as you call, ship graveyards are pulled together, but I think that most of these have had some sort of warp touch to make this happen.
Well, yeah, what happens is a lot of times, and we'll touch on it more later, is a ship will basically be moseying along on its happy way, and then a Space Hulk will translate into them.
Yeah.
Like that, and you are now part of it. Like someone teleports into you. Well, now you're part of it. The third one, which is an orc thing only, is space trash. And it's one of my favorite ones. It's just a giant thing of space trash that the orcs are able to ride because they're orcs. Meh, that's orcs. Now, all of them have very similar characteristics. First off, they all have some form of atmosphere. The orc one, it's a little bit goofy, but it does have an atmosphere.
Even though it's not sealed.
Yeah, exactly. But it does have it. Another one is that they can all translate in and out of the warp. They all have warp drives, we think. It's not really that clear, but they all go in and out of the warp. Some of them, you know, do it pretty regularly. Some of them do it very unroutinely. And this just kind of...
And some have been used by people to do stuff.
Yeah. Quick little detour here. One of the key pieces of Space Hulks that I want to talk about is scrapping. So, if you think about it, building a thing from scratch is hard. All right. So it's kind of nice to, if you guys have any experience building homes, if you build a home from scratch, it's nice because you get to customize the whole thing. I've done it. I put a 20-foot island in a house one time. It's really cool. Great kitchen, all that stuff. But it takes a while and it's a pain in the ass. So it's a lot easier to take pre-built stuff and put it together. So, same thing is true with, you know, a galaxy. Why take giant chunks of adamantium or copper, which I assume they still have copper, and build it from scratch when you could just rip some old converters or replicators or plasma cores out of
guns, warp cores, anything else?
So when we talk about these space hulks, the one thing that's really going to be important here is we're going to talk about how they're all nightmare zones. You're going to ask yourself, why don't they just blow them all up? That's why. Because as easy as it would be to just blow up every vacant ship in the entire galaxy, they're too valuable.
Cash money Benjamin, baby.
Exactly, because it's the 41st millennium. So for tens of millennia prior, there had been quite an industry around salvage and scrap. I don't know much about the currency in the 41st millennia. It's mentioned randomly, but there's no actual like real clarity around it.
There's a lot of trade though that goes on, especially when you get out the edges and you actually trade with alien races.
Well there has to
for stuff. It's also, we're not going to talk about the line that we have in the notes.
Which one?
Oh, Brad lives in Ohio, so he's all about the value of a catalytic converter.
I did write that, didn't I? About trade. I mean, what is the going rate currently?
I've never liked you.
I mean, you're in Toledo. I'm just listed somewhere near your house, like current catalytic converter price. But yeah, it is true. The issue is that I think the best way to look at the 41st millennia is Mesopotamia, where everyone's functioning in an open market, which is, you know, it's a nightmare to actually work in, but it makes sense because it's more of an agricultural-based economy. So, you know, Pythagorean Brotherhood, you guys know what those are? If you don't, it's fine. So the whole concept in the 41st millennia is we have to have a massive trade economy. We talked about this before. The VOTAN or the leagues are coming out and trading. Everyone's trading. So it's a whole trade-based economy. So scrapping is huge. Like I said, there's a lot of catalytic converters being sold in the Ohio section of the galaxy.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Ohio bad. John, Ohio.
Ohio bad, accurate. I'm sorry. I sent you a video today of a fist fight at a kindergarten graduation. Where was it, Brad?
Totally thought it was no big deal. It's Toledo. That's the reason I didn't show you the tornado of garbage video. But one of the big things on this is we already talked about the fact that we can't make the technology from back in the day. So that the salvagers, a lot of times you can't figure out how to fix your ship. You have to get a new piece from that ship. And that's a big deal with a lot of these. You got to figure that there's rogue traders that have, again, we talked to the rogue traders, aren't just some rogue traders are one ship with a plucky band of adventurers. And then there's rogue traders that have fleets. And there's scavenger fleets that this is what they do.
It's kind of funny because when we talked about the Night Lords, we actually covered this, where a very happy-go-lucky crew of salvagers found a derelict spaceship and they were going to make their fortune. And instead, they got murdered by Conrad. And it's one of those things I like, though, because it's such a trope in sci-fi, but it's not. It's one of those tropes that we keep doing over and over again, because we actually know it's true. We know this is exactly what would happen. If you had an entire galaxy going on, of course there would be people who would be going after broken down ships or abandoned ships to salvage them for goods to go sell. There is no question that would happen. So that's how we get to where we are today. Now, the funny thing about this is that sometimes in the 41st millennia, you get lucky and unlucky. And even in the lucky, you can get unlucky, because sometimes you're lucky as you find an STC, but that STC could even be unlucky because you could find a good STC, in which case you're dead.
Because Adback have showed up going, have we told you all about how we're taking this and killing you?
What I do find funny, though, is that 99.99% of the space stuff out there is safe. It's just, we're going to talk about the little section here that's not. Like the space hulks, if you actually think about it, if you just were to pull up on the side of a space hulk, rip a little bit off and leave, you're probably fine. It's if you go exploring the inside of them that it's people going to get bad.
Set up shop, yes.
Right. Now, let's talk about why Space Hulks are that way. Because again, on the outside, just a giant abandoned hunk of scrap that gets pretty old. And the reason Space Hulks are an issue is the warp.
Hold on. You were halfway to saying Space Hulks be what they do. I love everything Fair. About that. Yeah. Continue on.
Fine. But let's talk about Space Hulks and the warp. So again, to my knowledge, most all Space Hulks travel within the warp, which makes a lot of sense narratively because they're meant to resemble kind of ghost ships. I think the idea of the Space Hulks is that this is much like we have, well, more had. We still do have, who am I kidding? We still have ghost ships where the entire crew has died and the ship is just moving around until eventually it crashes into something. And it makes sense that the warp would take part in this because gravity is a thing. I realize GW sometimes seems to forget this, like celestial navigation, making sensors work, the fact that they made a faction called the White Scars. They're just things they forget. but if a ship were just adrift in the galaxy, it would eventually get pulled into a system and be stuck there, right? And then crash, and then eventually would probably crash into a planet. It's hard to kind of just get left in the middle of nowhere.
I still think that the warp makes a lot of these Space Hulks happen.
It does. You're 100% correct there. And so what happens is that what we see more in the stories is these giant ships will appear suddenly. And they tend to appear near a civilized world, but they're not there for very long. And they disappear again back into the warp. And what makes them enter and exit the warp is unknown. We believe they all have warp drives, but we don't know. Like, and there's a lot of them are technically abandoned. So even if it has a warp drive, who's activating it? Some of them appear once every 700 years and then disappear after 7 days. I think we know who's doing that one. some appear in the exact same spot. Some appear all over the place.
And a bunch of them have been taken over too. Mm-hmm. A bunch of you, like multiples are used by Chaos Chapters as like where they.
Oh yeah. It's a really common thing for Chaos Chapters to be like, hey, this is our new fortress.
Yep. This is where we do stuff. And orcs are known to cool. These are awesome.
Oh yeah. These things turn into hobo trains pretty quickly. I mean, that is the only thing about them. It's Xenos, but it's primarily, well, it's not. It's orcs, gene stealers, slaw. There's quite a few. And chaos. They love a good free ride.
Exactly.
It's like, where are we going?
Shop.
Yeah, going anywhere but here. Yeah, there's a lot of that. And so that's where the Space Hulks, it's why they matter a lot. What's fun about them, though, is that Space Hulks are also incredibly interesting to the Mechanicum because they tend to have a lot of cool technology.
From we'll talk more way about back to the Golden Age.
Yeah. So let's get into a Space Hulk, why they get explored and who explores them. And this is actually one of my favorite parts of Space Hulks because we've been hinting at this for a little bit, and now let's get into it. All right. Who explores a Space Hulk? Well, it falls into kind of a few options based around who finds it first. Because the first group is going to be salvagers every time.
I was just saying, salvagers are always going to be around. And the thing is like John had said earlier, which is sometimes you go, oh, cool. We're going to take these pieces. We're going to make a bunch of money off this. And then other times, I think it's when you just get too greedy and they go in and you find out that, oh, no, this is just full of gene stealers or the blood drinkers and some other guys just went in and tried to kill every gene stealer. But like you could find shitty places in there.
I get a huge kick out of it because that's the whole problem with this first group. So the issue with the first group is the first group are just the sci-fi horror movie group because they're not supposed to do this. Like it's not really clear, even in the Conrad book, if the salvagers, is that a legal enterprise? I'm actually not sure if they're licensed by the rogue traders can do it, but outside of rogue traders, are you allowed to do this? So the reason that comes up is they go to a ship, they find a ship, they break into the ship, and then
best case scenario,
yeah, no one else is there. Sometimes there's orcs in there. You're all dead. That's fine. Other times there's gene stealers in there, and now you're spreading the gene stealer infection back to the entire galaxy. And then you wished you died. Yeah. Well, you're fine. The Imperium wished you died because you're about to go spread the entirety back to everyone. So that's that group. And so again, we're not really sure if they're allowed to be doing this, but they're doing it. The next group we know are allowed to do it. And this one's actually kind of the better group. And this is the Rogue Traders, because we covered Rogue Traders a long time ago. Rogue Traders are almost a sub-Imperium.
I'm still pointing this out. And you just do this to piss me off. And somebody cast. It's still Rouge.
Oh, yeah. That's the way I type it. This is more fun for me. I'm always going to do Rouge Traders.
I'm well aware. Continue.
I enjoy
it. I don't even correct it anymore in the notes. I just let it go.
It's just enjoyable. And by the way, I don't even, the notes I send to you, I never even look at those. You can correct them all you want. I never even review them. I look at the original copy, the John notes.
I love that I do edit these all the time. I'm super glad that I
never know. And I've never reviewed.
I make notes and stuff on them.
I've never reviewed them one time. I dislike you so much right now. 142 episodes in, you just figured that one out. Anyway.
I'm quick. So, guys, smart.
We'll be right back after a quick break. Starting a business is a massive challenge. You have an idea, but before you can ever get to doing that idea, you have to do 100 other tasks that are not that idea. One of the biggest challenges can be the commerce side of a business. I learned this the hard way, but finding a quality partner for your business is one of the most important things you can do. Companies that will actually support you as you grow, and more importantly, help you grow. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce inside the US. Accelerate your efficiency, whether you're uploading new products or trying to improve existing ones. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. What if you get stuck? Shopify is always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. No need to save multiple websites or try to figure out what platform is hosting the tool that you need. Everything is all in one place, making your life easier and your business operations smoother. Start your business today with the industry's best partner, Shopify, and start hearing. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/lore. Go to shopify.com/lore. That's shopify.com/lore. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, and adventure is the focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough, and that can lead to overwhelm and counting down the minutes until kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting the days of sunshine. I know for me, summer can be a little bit tough, as I'm juggling a lot more with work, in addition to the regular families, hobbies, and friends. I often feel overwhelmed, and that overwhelming leads to feelings of stress as I worry that I'm letting others down. This at times leads me to actually dread the summer months, which then makes me mad at myself for dreading some of the best times of the year. With BetterHelp, you can be matched with quality therapists with care and reliability. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. And if you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, with over 30,000 therapists having served over 6 million people globally. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. The Rouge Traders operate as a second Imperium. They are beholden to the Imperium, but they have a ton of autonomy.
They're, and this is important. Gilliman loves these people for this reason. And Gilliman is always correct. So therefore, you know.
You do have to, the galaxy is so big, you can't have people that have to wait for an okay. So these people have to be able to make decisions. Yeah. Yes, they're 100% correct on it. And they also-
Gilliman's idea.
Sure. And also, they have to make a lot of decisions. God damn it. That like literally broke my head for just a second. I had a full train of thought that exploded because he's always right. But the rogue traders are looking for, again, valuable things. But you can really, really make some loot off this. But you can also find things that are really important for the Imperium. I mean, again, STCs, but also old weapons arrays. Better warp drives and things of that nature. The AdMech has made a living off finding old stuff like this and converting it into weapons that they use. When you look at an AdMech army, it has all kinds of weaponry that no one else has.
Right. And what makes the rogue traders so critical in this, though, is that they're allowed to scrap, number one. Number two, they have their own militaries. The scrappers probably shouldn't touch a Space Hulk. They're going to because humanity's going to humanity, and they're going to look for the wealthiest thing they can possibly do.
A bunch of guys with pistols hoping for the best.
But the rogue traders actually have full-blown militaries. And so for them, when they deploy, their idea is we can actually take whatever's in here, and whatever problems come up, I'll be okay. See game Blackstone Fortress. Anyway, the idea there is that when they run into problems, they can do it. But the other advantage they have, though, is that because they have the writ of the Emperor behind them, if they hit one and there is a big problem, they can call the Imperium and not have an awkward, so why were you in a 20,000-year-old vessel exactly? Hey, oopsie, can you send group three? And group three is Space Marine AdMech.
I love, there's so many good stories that have Space Hulks in them, and they do First Company Terminators. Incursions all the time into these bad boys.
Yeah.
And it's pretty awesome. Come on now. It is.
These stories are all awesome. And in every one of them, you want to build a bunch of Terminators and then you look up the rules and go, never mind.
But
we're going to cover one later, guys. That is depressing when you play Terminators on the board.
I mean, but it's super fun. I do like the stories about, but the thing is that they go in to clear it out. And these aren't easy missions. I mean, this is, hey, we have to clear this planet out.
Yeah, that's big. This actually is key things. That first group goes in, the scrappers, they're going in kind of illegally doing their own thing. Group number two, the rogue traders, are really the main ones. They're gonna explore. They're going to mark it if it's a problem. Group three, which is the Space Marines or the AdMech, they don't go into it. I mean, they're going to explore in air quotes, but they know there's a problem. They're going to cleanse
that's the
with
reason
their exploration.
They're going in, especially, I'd say the Space Marines.
They're not bringing Terminators to explore.
AdMech is doing a little bit of exploratory stuff. The Space
Behind
Marines.
Behind the Terminators.
Sure. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that they go in looking for stuff. The Space Marines aren't mainly there to murder all the bad stuff.
The way it works is the Terminators are like 100 meters down the hallway, slaughtering the AdMech are behind you going, oh, this looks interesting. Yeah. You know, did you guys see this over here on the wall? Pretty cool thing, huh? Gunfire. But let's talk about why all this occurs and what you're going to find. So you go to Space Hulk, what are you going to find? Well, if you're lucky, nothing. You're going to find something eventually, but initially you're going to find a lot of dead bodies, probably, if you're lucky, just, you know, a failed mutiny, emergency decompression, a warp jump.
Gellerfield didn't work. Yeah.
And if you're lucky, it's one of the pieces like Gellerfield didn't work and it's been back in reality for a while. So whatever happened couldn't manifest itself in reality very long. So you're just there, kind of like Event Horizon, but without what's his nuts still in there. So, you know, happy scrapping. Yay. Pretty easy. If you're less lucky, pirates, because you're not the only one doing this scrapping.
Also, there's a level to pirates. There's heavy. There's Captain Jack Sparrow pirates, and there's going to be Drakari raiding party pirates. Well,
it gets worse. because you're going to have you've got pirates, other scrappers. Then you've got corsairs. Then you've got Drakari, And then you've got what I just finished building earlier today. Huron.
Huron Blackheart.
And then you have Huron Blackheart.
The Red Corsairs show up.
Yeah.
Bad news bears.
Yeah. Come around a corner and Huron's standing there going, well, all right, never mind. Today's a bad day.
He's well adjusted with his band of masters of the maelstrom.
You also could run into some really small Xenos, which, and by small, I don't mean small, just less known. The Crave.
Oh.
Not ideal. An insect with a metal carapace and sharp arms, because we know that'll be there somewhere.
100%.
GW's favorite thing. You've got the Slaw. You've got, there's a ton of these types of things. And it gets a lot worse. You've also just got orcs. And by orcs, you're going to have levels to orcs. You might find a ton of orcs. You might find a few orcs. If you're a human, doesn't really matter how many orcs you find.
Yeah.
It's, I mean,
or you could find gene stealers who will sit dormant until someone shows up there.
The thing about the gene stealers, you won't find the gene stealers. That's your fun part.
The gene stealers will find you.
Yeah. You just wake up all of a sudden and go, oh, okay, I guess it's time to leave. And then you go back to your colony and make a lot of children, and they're all gene stealers. You've also got potential to bump into, we mentioned Huron, but you also could, if your timing's really bad, remember the thing I mentioned earlier about the Geller field not working? Like, come around a little bit of a corner to find a happy old bloodthirster. Not going to go well. So these things kind of suck, but that's just what they are. So now I dive into, let's talk about some of the ships themselves and some examples of them in the lore. So the first one I want to talk about is kind of the least common, which is the original ships. These are individual ships that are just astronomically large. So it's just a space hulk. All of them are from an unknown origin date. And that's because it's from before the Imperium. Yeah, its crew is long since dead and reclaimed by the warp. They're all super dangerous. I mean, holy crap, super dangerous. Because they're never, ever, ever empty. And they're almost always heavily chaos infused. So a good example of this we covered in our Blood Ravens cast, the Judgment of Carrion. So that was in Dawn of War 2. That was a space hulk. It was a single ship. But it's called the Judgment of Carrion. That was the one that went in and out of the warp.
Yeah, it's the one that's in the Aurelia sector.
Exactly. And it had chaos on it, but it also had gene stealers and orcs, just in random spots. And that's a really good example of this. And demons. Depending on what part of the ship you were in, it had random
kitchen. Again, these are huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one I like, though, is the Unholy Harbinger, which, believe it or not, it's part of a chaos fleet.
What?
With a name like that. This one, though, I like because I just call it the Chaos Party Van. The Black Legion, the Death Guard, the Anointers of Blood, and others have just kind of grabbed the keys from time to time and just gone on a road trip. Because what it does is this thing just appears where there's conflict and other things kind of show up around it. It's so many millennia old. Its origins well before recorded history and just appears in a system. Either it appears and then a chaos fleet appears with it, or a chaos fleet appears and then it appears. But either way, it's whichever order happens, it then comes in, they grab a bunch of slaves, and then it leaves.
Whoa. You said a bunch of slaves like it was a busy Tuesday. They take everyone that lives in certain systems and take all of them. This isn't like, whoo, everybody that was at the mall got taken. You're like, no, everybody that was on any of these planets gets taken.
But I just like us. The thing with the Unholy Harbinger is it just keeps showing up. It showed up at Cadia. It shows up at random spots. And it really is. It's just like the party van where it's like, oh, yeah, the keys are on the dresser. If you guys ever need it, just go grab it. And a bunch of chaos goes, yeah, we're going in the Unholy Harbinger to go do stuff. Another, probably the most famous, though, of all of these, the two biggest is going to be the Devourer of Stars, which is the first War of Armageddon. That's the one that where Angron was hanging out in the warp, just going, if only I had a ship,
that could just go do something cool. And then it appeared in front of me with a big sign that just said, "Get in, losers." And so Andy Grundman and everyone jumped in. And
forget World Killer, which is the, where the orcs just went, let's drive this in.
That's different. Because that's a different Hulk. This one, because the thing is, the Sin of Damnation was an actual ship.
That's true.
Yeah.
World Killer was just...
Oh, no, sorry. I'm mixing it up. So the Devourer of Stars was a ship. The most famous, though, the one you think of, Word Killer, that's an orc legend. That's a hunk of garbage. The most famous one, though, of all of them is Sin of Damnation. Because Sin of Damnation is Space Hulk. So this is the biggest one. Yeah. So in this one, oh my God. So the Sin of Damnation, I'll give you all the story on the game because the game is super cool, super fun. 994 of M40, the Sin of Damnation appears, and Blood Angel is leading a boarding action against it. They get rebuffed because
they get rocked.
Described as an infinite number of G's to
They got killed, and the angels got killed down to 50 guys that escaped.
Yeah, and they were the Blood Angels, and then it actually translates back out of reality afterwards. And the Blood Angels don't really go down like that.
Yeah, they went, hey, going out like that.
Yeah. 600 or so years later, in 589 of M41, the Damnation returns to the galaxy.
Yes.
And the Blood Angels go, nope. First company with Captain Michaelis.
Raphael.
This is the worst naming.
No,
see, was it second Captain Leonardo Donatellis? We're just going, with Sergeant. What was the rat called? Why can't I think of it? Oh God, I was about to say
Splinter.
It was Splinter. Sergeant Splinter. No, Shredder was a bad guy.
Shredder's the bad guy. Splinter was the bad guy.
Like I said, we're the perfect age to know this. Why couldn't we both think of that instantly? Anyway, so this part's gonna hurt, guys. This part's gonna hurt. So they successfully cleanse the Sin of Damnation of 40,000 gene stealers.
80 Terminators killed 40,000 gene stealers?
100. It was a company.
Okay. The entire first company, which would be 100 Terminators, sure.
Yeah.
How about this? Not 40,000. If you gave me 40,000 gene stealers in the game and I took Judd's 100 Terminators, I would put those guys in a small box and roast them with marshmallows like a s'mores.
I did the math. So 100 Terminators is at most 3,600 points. 20,000 gene stealers is
40,000 Terminators.
20,000 gene stealers is 280,000 points. So it's half a million. It's over half a million points versus 3,600. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and admit that on the tabletop, it's possible that Terminators don't hold up.
All right. Still a cool story, man. These guys we're getting our vengeance. Story. I'm assuming that they put on Terminator boots of mighty ass kicking for this one.
Yeah.
They were like, remember what happened? Pepperidge Farms remembers, and so do we. Let's do this.
Yeah. But let's get into the next group of Space Hulks, which is what I call the amalgam kind. This is the ones where it's not a single vessel, but a collection of vessels. These are the most interesting, the most written about, kind of the most common. These ones happen, it's mostly believed where it's either a ship translates out of the warp on top of another ship, two ships translate into the warp pillar, that kind of combo. It's basically they're merging together, but it's with warp translation, so they become one.
I think a lot of times this happens in the warp. That's just the Brad theory, though. Most of these are just went in and out of the warp, and whatever entity decided that they wanted these things to exist.
And what's interesting about it, though, is that to reinforce Brad's theory, it doesn't happen one time. A lot of these Space Hulks, it's happened multiple times, almost like, things Pac-Man, where it's trying to acquire more and more ships, where it's pouncing on stuff.
Yeah. It is big because space is big. These things are just not running into each other all the time. You could float around forever and hit absolutely nothing. And these Space Hulks have multiple ships jammed together, and there's a lot of them.
And that's what makes these ships so interesting, though, is because of that, they also, by the way, break apart. So they become They're named ships or named space hulks, but they also shift and change over time because as they translate in and out of the warp, they'll add new pieces, but also pieces will get broken off or shot off, which we also will cover on in a second. This makes them become really interesting, and we'll call them targets of opportunity because it's very hard to explore them and understand them because as you try to, they keep changing. All of a sudden, oh, hey, we know our way around New York City. Well, cool. New York City just added, I don't know, Cleveland. Well, they wouldn't do that. They know better.
They wouldn't do that. And it also goes straight into the atmosphere.
Yeah. But let's talk about them, actually. These are the ones that have the most stories around them, so I just want to jump right into a bunch of these. First and foremost, let's talk about the Spirit of Eternity. So the Spirit of Eternity is a really cool... It's a great novel. You can all read it and you should go and you all should. It's got an AI on it and it's a leave over from the dark age of technology where it was a space hulk that had translated around it. And it's infested with gene stealers. So been marked for destruction by the Imperium because it was spreading, you know, the taint of a gene stealer. But before the blood drinkers, who are the good guys, can't figure that one out, and the Nova Marines could blow it up, the Admech arrived, because the idea was, hey, that thing's full of genes, so just shoot out of the sky. The Admech arrived, and we're like, no, there's something really impressive inside it, cough, cough, AI. So we need you to go cleanse it. And I'm not going to spoil the novel as they go to cleanse it, but long story short, if you want a really good Black Library book about, it kind of covers some of the technology from the Golden Age.
It's pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah. Another one I like is The Unseen, which is an Alpha Legion Space Hulk, which is a really cool just Alpha Legion story because it's not actually a Space Hulk. It's an Alpha Legion
secret
space station.
Yeah,
space station that they made to look like a Space Hulk. It's the most Alpha Legion thing ever.
I know. It's super modernized. It's got a training port. Dude, it's so much.
Alpha Legion took one of their ships and then just stole Tau and Eldar and Orc ships and welded them to one of their ships. They're like, oh no, it's a Space Hulk, and pretended, and they call it the Unseen, and it made it like their own personal Tortuga. The idea is that all Chaos forces are welcome there, but no one can control it, even though the Alpha Legion 100% control it. Yeah, and it's this meeting point, trading port, and all this other stuff for the forces of Chaos, but it looks like from the outside, oh, check out this, you know, amazing Space Hulk, but if you get really close, you're like, hey, are these welded edges? Like, everything else is warped together. This is clean. So it's kind of like almost like a Scooby-Doo mystery where you're like taking the mask off.
Wait a minute.
Mr. Jenkins. And then there's Mortis Thule, which, all right,
Give it its right name, Death from Beyond the Horizon.
Yeah, none of you read this novel because, Yeah, you know how I know that? Because it's not a novel. Anyway, Mortis Thule. This is actually one of the cooler ones that's been written. Mortis Thule is a massive space.
This is from Citadel Journal.
Yeah, this is RPG. This is the Death Watch. This is when Mortis Thule is...
This original is from the Citadel Journal. You could play this.
Yeah. This is when GW tried to step into making a D&D out of their own game. And the cool thing about that is really good lore. Game was... but really good lore. So this is one of the cooler ones to me. When you want to understand Space Hulks, just go read this. It's fun. So the Mortis Thule dates back well into the Golden Age of technology. What's creepy about it is there's actually an iconography. Well, that's a hard word for me, guys. Sorry. On a world in the Jericho sector, dating back to M18, depicting a giant ship that is the Mortis Thule appearing and then beings falling down from it from the sky and killing the local populace. So this thing's been around for a bit. By the way, that world settled by humanity. Go team. And the Mortis Thule keeps showing up. So that's not ideal. Not often, just a few times a century. Enough that the Imperium can resettle the planet. Now, its size and its shape are always in flux because its journeys in the warp, it keeps adding pieces to itself. Because like us, it's what's inside that counts. Right, Brad?
God. all the who's in Whoville. And exactly. The Grinch's heart grew three times that day.
So eventually, Mortisthul comes the attention of the Inquisition, specifically Ordo Xenos, who assigned the Death Watch. Just go deal with this thing. It's interesting story on that. It's the reason why is because the Jericho Reach, High Fleet Dagon was close to it. And what they were concerned about was basically if the High Fleet gets to the Mortisthul, they would infect it. They don't know where this thing is going, but it would become this just launching point for gene stealers all over the galaxy. So this thing, nope, go cleanse it. And we're going to go destroy this. So the Death Watch go in and the story is cool. Because it's layers. They get in there. It's somewhat expected. There's Corsair pirates in there searching for valuable goods.
And there's gene stealers.
Orcs.
In there.
Yeah, there's orcs. Some gene stealers. But then it does get weird.
People start showing up also.
Yeah. So you start getting Eldar and Orc ships begin to make up more and more of the inside of it. So it's been merging with a lot more Orc and Eldar craft, and older Orc and Eldar craft. Then they get attacked by what are called Hullghasts. Hullghasts are a stupid thing that GW makes up, where apparently humanity can, by being in space for a short period of time.
They're just Reavers, dude.
I know. It drives me nuts. Because they're like, oh, and then it's people that have, I don't know, mutated. We don't...
From the effects of the void. That's actually what they say.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so human-sized feral beasts. They have claws and teeth. Just why? Anyway, things then get funny, though, because they do bump into the ship called the Emperor's Gaze. Somehow got stuck in there, where it was just these guys were just... It was just a merchant vessel was hanging out, and who luckily did have, for this, they had a Geller field. They got translated into, became part of the Mortisthul.
Can't get out or leave or do anything.
Yeah, they're part of some of these.
They instantly die.
Yeah. They all ran to their Geller field and hung out next to the Geller field. And they've been eating mushrooms, which I assume means they were eating orcs. Because that's what they said. They've been eating green mushrooms, quote, green mushrooms. And drinking like the water that drips off the hull to keep themselves alive. So yeah, that's a thing. And then the Death Watch kept on moving, but as they're moving, it gets really creepy. Because as they're moving, the ship starts getting older and older to the point where it's actually well beyond humanity. And the quality of the technology that they start to uncover is so high that it's actually now under an Omega Vault Decree level of seal. But that's not all that they found. They didn't just find technology, they found Xenos. Terrible Xenos. So as they're going through, they found fleshy archways that were kind of all over the place, and they didn't know what they were. And it turns out those fleshy archways used to be psychers, because there were enslavers on this ship. This is one of the few times that we've actually have confirmation of enslavers in the 41st millennia. Death Watch had to fight the enslavers. And the enslavers actually were in the middle of fighting gene stealers, because the cool thing about enslavers is that enslavers can't enthral the full gene stealer, but they can enthral the lower gene stealer. It's a whole complicated thing, but it's pretty cool. Read the book or the whatever it is, the RPG. But yeah, that's cool. Let's finish up with orcs, because we're getting into 11th edition, Armageddon number 3. So let's start with, at least Armageddon number 4, but still, let's talk Orc Hulks.
So many good right. ones.
These are technically Space Hulks in that they are hulky and they're in the space.
Well said, sir. Well said.
Look, I mean, orcs, my favorite way to describe orcs is they're up Peter Pan. Because if they
just believe gotta something, believe, baby. You just gotta believe. True.
So they can ride a collection of space garbage anywhere they want. And that's exactly what they do. These Orc Space Hulks are just trash that they're riding in space. They are unsealed, the vacuum of space, but they have atmosphere.
Yep.
They have no Geller field, but demons can't get in. They're not welded together, but they stay attached. And if one of these things shows up in your system, you are like, oh my God. First one I want to talk about is, it has a normal name, Alveus alpha sextus. This was a giant hulk of scrap. That's all it was, that appeared above a little planet on the port side of Segmentum Solar in 941 of M41. And this planet used to be called Ulanor, and some idiot renamed it Armageddon. And that scrap in orbit had a bunch of orcs on it, including one very specific one named Ghazghul Mag Uruk Thraka.
God.
Who felt that that world needed a crumpin'. Fun story, Alveus alpha sextus no longer exists because Gaz landed it on the planet.
I love that you've said landed. Yeah, like they came, the space hulk was a leaf on the wind.
he landed it. The space hulk is now touching the land. It is landed.
I get it. I would say crashed, grounded, maybe landed. Any of those words.
All of those are those are versions of landed.
Above landed.
It's all a question of how aggressively you wish to land. If you want to be kind of a little bitch, you can come in at like a normal speed, or you can do it orc style. Full speed. Fun thing about Gaz, though, is Gaz is both brutal
and cunning.
And so what'll work once will always work twice. So after the events of Armageddon 2, he needed another giant hulk of garbage.
Which is way better named orc-wise.
Yeah, because this time, well, he went and found one called World Killer, W-U-R-L-D, K-I-L-L-A. And the problem he had, though, is he found it, and it was controlled by a bloodthirster and a bunch of demon buddies with an active warp rift in the middle of it.
In the middle of it that was open, darted by a bloodthirster.
Yes.
And Gaz went, good to hear. It's mine now. Yeah. And then
kills the bloodthirster.
Hunt that guy.
Yeah. And then headbutts the warp rift till it closes. Drives Word Killer back to Armageddon.
That is a real thing, by the way. Yes. They specifically state that he headbutted a warp rift closed.
Yeah.
How do you do that? No idea, but Gaz did it.
Yeah. And then my favorite part is he then took it back to Armageddon, crashed it into Armageddon, and began looking for Yarik. Like, I know you're here. I know you're here. Where is Yarik? Yeah. And I'm pretty sure we haven't gotten to the events of Armageddon 4 yet, but if Gaz doesn't crash a giant hunk of garbage into Armageddon, I will be furious at GW. Objectively furious.
I'm still just excited that Yarik exists because the orcs want him to exist, but continue.
Yeah. It's the, oh God. Also, nice try, GW. We're going to make a new Yarik model. I already have one. Good attempt. There's no way. The new one's cool looking, don't get me wrong, but I have the original one, and I have a magnet on my Bane Blade that he goes on to, click, he rides the Bane Blade. That's what Yarik does. All right, but with that, I think that's enough kind of fun coverage. Space Hulks are good. We'll do more Space Hulks because they're going to come up in more. Next week, we're going to jump around a little bit back into more hardcore lore but we're going to do a tale that GW forgot. Not White Scars, because, you know, that's just too much. Honestly, that joke wouldn't be funny if we actually covered them. It's more funny. It's like, I like this one. We're going to do another one. In fact, one that I enjoy more because it's a chapter that GW wrote and, in my opinion, suddenly went, oh, crap. Let's never talk about them again because we accidentally wrote the most powerful thing in all of 40K.
And you know who's really bummed about this? My boy Brandon, who converted all of his Marines to be Legion of the Damned.
Yeah, we're doing Legion of the Damned. One of the better books in 6th edition. They had some busted S rules. Yeah, Legion of the Damned. They do actually date from before 6th edition, and they ceased to exist after 6th edition very suddenly. And it's one of my favorite things that on basically every cast when GW announces anything, you get a bunch of people asking, are you a new Legion of the Damned? And GW just ignores the question. every single time. Like they don't even respond. People have been asking about squats forever, and there'd be something of like occasionally responsive, we're working on something. Legion of the Damned, like it's and we'll discuss why. So until then, John Barsotti, Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you guys next week.